Well, hello everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, July the 6th, 2012. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, everyone, hello from a very, very warm and steamy mid-Atlantic. Also, welcome from a land that has had no electric power since last Friday. That's right, I'm one of those people you heard about in the news, one of those million people without power, then one of those 500,000 people without power, one of those 200,000 people without power, and now down to one of those 50,000 people without power. Apparently, a storm that has been called by meteorologists a derecho storm or derecho storm, which I'm not quite sure what makes that a unique storm, but we had a storm that moved in from the Midwest, not very extensive in terms of covering multiple states. It covered maybe a range of two or three states as it moved across from Lake Michigan, across the Midwest, hit the mountains in West Virginia, came over Maryland, hit a little bit of Delaware, mostly Maryland, greater Washington, D.C., and parts of Virginia. From my perspective, the storm lasted 15 minutes. Around 10 to 11, I noticed that there was a little blip about, severe weather was approaching. And I decided, perhaps I'd better shut down the computers. Told my husband, you know, maybe want to shut down the computers, turn everything off. There's a storm and supposedly pretty severe winds, maybe a lot of lightning. And it's supposed to hit within maybe 30 minutes or so. In less than 30 minutes, at approximately 11:15, the wind suddenly kicked off. I heard a sound, just something as if it was being just turned off. And that was the end of the power. That was it. And that was around 11:15 last Friday evening. And here it is, Friday morning, the following week, and still no power. Well, I'm hoping by midday today something will happen. I did see there is a good sign. Yesterday morning when I left the house around 9 or so, there were 7 power trucks at the top of the street at the corner. That was a change. We had not seen power trucks at all. So, there is a little bit of hope, I guess, on the horizon. But it's still very, very slow in coming. It's been interesting. People have been relatively polite. Tempers have not been too flared, I guess. We did have a little bit of excitement in the neighborhood when one very frustrated and very hot, overheated lady in her 80s, when a power truck was coming down the street, I guess just to turn around, and she stood in the middle of the street and said, "Run me down." And that was a bit of drama there, and of course they were not going to do that. And she began to give the driver a true tongue lashing. That was very interesting, but it did make them get out and go and realize, there's a transformer behind your house. We didn't realize that. I'll give them a little credit. These were power workers imported from the state of North Carolina, so they don't know the community. But anyway, it has been an interesting experience. So I have been going out to libraries and any other place where I can get a free Wi-Fi signal to check email occasionally. Thank goodness for smartphones that one can receive email also on one's phone. And I have been definitely stealing moments to go out and charge my phone with the auto charger. Of course, that was an excuse to sit under air conditioning. The temperatures have been high. They have been in the upper 90s every day. We have broken 100 occasionally. It is expected to continue with this heat for several more days. I'm hoping that my being without power will not go beyond today. So I'm hoping that by this afternoon, hopefully I'll be able to breathe a little bit more easily, and certainly by this evening sleep a little bit more comfortably. But we've been coping. The lower level of the house is much cooler, so much time has been spent in the evenings in the family room, and obviously time to sleep on the sofa bed downstairs because it is much cooler than sleeping upstairs. It's been an amazing experience, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit. Now, not having power a lot and not having a lot of time online, I've not been able to do a lot of collecting of data in terms of upcoming events. A few things have been shared with me, some of which were shared in the past 2 weeks with me. I mentioned, for example, that this weekend going on in Colonial Williamsburg, there is a program that is dedicated to focusing on African American involvement in colonial America as well as the American Revolution. And this weekend they have a really big weekend that's being planned, and they're giving all kinds of discounted group tickets and things for that. And also, tomorrow they're having a special program for young people, and this program is going to be really exploring the study or the story of the lives of the early enslaved African Virginians and how their experiences impacted our lives today. And it sounds like it's a good experience. So if you're in the area and have a chance to really get to Williamsburg, certainly it might be something that will really be an informative experience. One event was shared with me that is very different. I'm not exactly certain what to think about it. It's kind of interesting. It's taking place in Maryland, and it's coming up on Sunday. And this particular event is called Walk a Mile, a Minute in the Footsteps of the Enslaved of the Hampton Plantation. Now, Hampton Plantation or Hampton Mansion, which is located in the Delaney Valley area of northern Baltimore County, is an historic plantation estate, and they have a unique experience going on this weekend. The park ranger at the site, this is one of the National Historic Sites, and the park ranger is Angela Roberts Burton. She's going to be addressing people, visitors, in period clothing and talking about the lives of the slaves who worked at Hampton Plantation. But in addition to that kind of experience, listening to a living historian or a reenactor talk about how people lived and the kind of work that they did, they are also offering a unique experience. And the experience that they're offering is really one in which one is invited to experience the labor that enslaved people performed at Hampton. In other words, they're inviting you to use the tools used in 18th and 19th century Hampton Plantation, work in the very fields on the estate, carry the buckets of water with the yoke on your shoulders, and it's actually part of a program called the African Diaspora Ancestral Commemoration Institute. They're going to have a number of things going on, not just something for you to experience what life may have been like for those who were enslaved, but it's also an experience where they're going to have African drummers. They're going to have some advisors and spoken word artists. And they're also going to have a particular ceremony to commemorate those who lived, toiled, and died at Hampton Plantation. There will be also an altar on display in the slave quarters to pay homage to those who were in bondage there. They're inviting people, if you're interested, to also bring names of maybe your own ancestors who were enslaved. They do not have to have been enslaved at Hampton Plantation, but individuals maybe that you can identify who were enslaved someplace in the Americas, and to be placed on the altar. It's an interesting kind of experience. I'm going to put some information for you on the podcast website where you can contact the historian. You can contact Angela Roberts Burton for more information. Really a different kind of thing. Now, as I said, I'm not quite sure what I think about it in terms of actually having that experience, because I hope, and it does sound as if they are approaching the experience with dignity. It's not something that's trivializing the experience. And so it does sound certainly something that is being done with total respect of those people who went through so much, who really are the shoulders upon which we stand today. So I am certainly hopeful that it is something that will be meaningful for those who go and participate and will not find that it is trivialized, the experience that the enslaved people had. I compare this, I suppose, with the actions that Joe McGill has been undertaking. This is a gentleman who is out of South Carolina who has been sleeping around the country in places that have been known or have been designated as truly slave quarters. And he's sleeping around the country and really paying homage to the ancestors in a unique way. He's visiting plantation estates and any place where slave quarters still stand. And he's spending the night there. In some places, individuals from the local area may join him. In some places, he is alone, but he's documenting that experience. And I'm going to put a link to his story and what he's experiencing, because he really is putting himself in the place of those enslaved people by sleeping where they slept and really seeing what they saw, feeling the floor, feeling the draft coming through the cabin if it's a cool, chilly night. And I am certainly very, very respectful of what he is doing with his experience. And I'm hoping that there will be a book or a documentary made about what he's going through. And it's still unfolding as we speak. But I'll put a link for you there as well. I did mention last week, and I will mention it again for those of you who are in the Delmarva area, the Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia area in the Eastern Shore area. If you are interested in finding out more about a new group that is forming, it's called Oxdelmarva, African American Historical Genealogical Society of that region, the Mid-Atlantic. They are still planning their inaugural meeting, and this is a chance to become a charter member of a brand new group, but to really participate in something from the very, very beginning. And I hope you really have a chance to do that. Well, as I said, I have been in the dark for a week. Well, at night, obviously. Daylight is very welcomed, I can assure you. But I want to mention something that this experience has really brought to me. It has brought to me an appreciation of And I won't even say what our ancestors went through. I'll say what my parents went through. My parents grew up in the 30s, in the 40s, came of age in the 40s. And my grandmother, whom I knew, my great-grandmother, whom I knew, these were people in my lifetime who grew up without the comfort of turning on the light when it gets too dark, or having the entertainment right in front of your eyes with radio, television. And of course, now we have electronic gadgets that keep us well entertained. But it has really made me stop and reflect and appreciate many things. It's taught me to appreciate sometimes the need to slow down and to be less dependent on those gadgets that keep us entertained and those many things that keep us comfortable. I'm grateful for one thing. I'm grateful that this power outage has occurred in the summer. As uncomfortable as it is, as hot as it is, as my little town of Catonsville, Maryland, where I live, was called humorously by a genealogy friend, Sweltersville, which it is warm. But I am grateful that this power outage took place in the warmer months of the year and not in the middle of the cold. I cannot imagine going a week without heat in the winter. I can certainly appreciate the fact that our ancestors certainly did not have air. They did not have, I'm sure when my parents grew up, other than maybe having a fan or one of those old oscillating fans, if they were privileged to have that. But they didn't have the comforts that we have. And trust me, I do miss my central air and can't wait until the power kicks on. But at the same time, it's really made me slow down and say, you know what? Sometimes it's important to just sit down and talk to people in the house. Have a conversation. There's no television to distract us. Let's have a conversation. So it's made me stop and appreciate time with neighbors, time with friends, time with family. I'm noticing neighbors in the afternoon as dusk approaches. They're pulling up chairs on each other's lawns and talking until it gets dark and they're ready to go in and face their own heat. But it, in another way, has made people rely on people a bit more. And that's been a really good experience for me. And I appreciate having had that. I appreciate also the fact that it's brought back the joy, since I couldn't get online all the time, that unless I went out to a library or went out to a place with Wi-Fi, sometimes just sitting down and writing my thoughts in a journal, or writing a letter to someone, since I couldn't type it in a quick email. These are also some of the moments that we've lost, some of the precious moments that we've lost. So, in spite of all the difficulties this past week has brought, it has made me a bit more reflective. And I do hope that once I get back into the swing of things and all power returns, and I know I'll get back into some of those old habits, but that occasionally I will stop and reflect and realize some of the lessons I also learned from being off the grid, so to speak. Anyway, I just wanted to share those thoughts with you. I'm operating on my battery right now, so I'm about to lose power even on this battery. But I wanted to share my thoughts with you and send you cool thoughts from a hot place here in Maryland. And thank you for taking out time to listen to me. I appreciate you. In the meantime, have a great week. Continue to do what you do, and you know what that is. Keep researching, keep documenting, and always keep sharing what you find. Talk to you next time, and I hope with power and with cooler temperatures. Have a great week, everyone. Be well and be safe. Bye-bye.